See the world from a totally different perspective?
Ready for provocative conversation?
Intriguing stories?
And inspiration?
Then don't touch that dial.
Welcome
to Talk with Francesca.
She'll give you something to talk about all week long. Now, here's Francesca.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Talk with Francesca. I'm Francesca Bastrash, and you're listening to AM 1510 WWZN Boston. If you have any questions or comments and you want to join in on the conversation, please send me an email at host@talkwithfrancesca.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or my website at talkwithfrancesca.com. I love all your emails. I read them all, so please continue to tell me what's on your mind. I will answer yours. Today's topic is domestic violence. And in 1994, Holly Collins was on the FBI most wanted list when she secured her two children and went on the run. This happened because a family court had ignored Holly's charges of domestic abuse against her husband and the children's stories of life with their violent father. Holly's broken nose, her son's fractured skull, and other medical evidence of a life filled with terror and torment. The judge gave full custody of the children to Mark Collins, Holly's ex-husband anyway. Holly felt she had no way out other than to flee. No Way Out But One chronicles the amazing story of Holly Collins, the first American woman to be granted asylum by the Dutch government as a result of domestic violence. Garland Waller, co-producer with Barry Nolan, host of Evening Magazine, of this powerful yet disturbing documentary, joins me live in the studio. Welcome, Garland. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Why is Holly Collins' story so important? What is it about hers that stands out?
Well, the reason that I think Holly's story stands out as very important is that in America's family courts, very often men who are guilty of domestic violence and guilty of child abuse and sometimes sexual abuse manage to get custody of their kids. It's a family court where up is down and down is up. And Holly was one of the few women to be able to save or protect her children from a life of continued abuse after the family courts gave custody to her ex-husband. Holly, by the way, was not on the FBI wanted list until after she had gone on the run. She was a woman and a mother who tried to protect her children, doing all the right things, using the courts in the right way, believing that in America she would be able to protect her children. And that did not happen. And the reason we thought her case was so strong was she's an articulate, thoughtful person who actually succeeded in protecting her children, even though she had to do it by kidnapping them and going on the run.
So would she first met her husband, or when she married him, was he abusive then, or did he then later become abusive to she and the children?
Well,
or maybe you don't know the answer to that. I don't know.
I think that's a great question for Holly. But I can tell you, as a producer who looked at the documented materials, there was a lengthy history of domestic violence.
Your documentary examines a national scandal that you say is a national secret. Tell our listeners why.
Well, it's a national scandal and a national secret because mainstream media basically don't cover this issue.
And why would that be?
Because they say it's he said, she said. They say, you know, she's saying it's domestic violence and child abuse. He says it's not. Therefore, we won't do it, especially if he won't talk. And actually, that's a strategy to keep this under the radar. And it's very dangerous. Also, it's very important to understand, basically, in most custody cases, in most divorce cases, both parents, even if they hate each other, try to do what's best for
the
kids.
Exactly.
It's not that way with domestic violence cases. It is not that way with domestic violence. If a woman brings up domestic violence in a family court, she is likely to lose custody of her kids. It's crazy.
Why? That makes no sense to me. Domestic violence, and then she loses the children. It just is backwards.
It's all backwards. And one of the reasons why is men who batter tend to present pretty well in general. I mean, frankly, women
Right. They're more manipulative. They're a little, they're almost like a little bit of a psychopath.
Yeah. Well, they're not even charming.
Exactly. There's a personality type. They know how to hide what they do.
Yes. They present very well in court. And the woman, if she's been battered, she suffers from post-traumatic stress
disorder. She's overwhelmed. She's afraid for her children.
She's living in a shelter. And she is dealing with all these people. This is very similar to Holly's case. Who either don't believe her, won't protect her. It's got to be. I mean, I think most loving parents, mothers and fathers, who would try to protect their children and believe that when they go to court, they will be heard and their children will be protected. In our family courts in America, that does not happen very often. And it's very sad and very scary.
You know, I've always thought that the mother usually gets custody. And I think that's pretty, I think most people believe that as well.
She does, if there's not domestic violence and child abuse.
Right, if there's not, and again, that just makes no sense. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Garland Waller, co-producer with Barry Nolan of No Way Out But One, the compelling documentary of an abused woman's search for safety for she and her children. One of the things that Holly Collins was accused of was being an alienating parent. What is parental alienation syndrome?
Well, parental alienation syndrome is junk science. There is zero research that has been credible research on it. Now, fathers' rights groups may say something different. Some family courts actually may say, well, it's legitimate, but what parental alienation is Dr. Richard Gardner, who stabbed himself to death, by the way, a couple of years ago.
A real happy guy,
said when one parent says bad things about the other parent, that parent should never see the children again. And that's what happens in family courts. So that's the kind of thing that was used against a loving mother like Holly, who said, he battered me, he beat my children. And the court says, oh, parental alienation syndrome, she should not see her children again. So here she is, this loving mother who has this beautiful relationship with her children, is suddenly, it's like a big knife that comes down and separates her from her children. And, you know, I have to tell you, as a producer who's at this point heard a lot of these stories, that one was one that just broke my heart. And that's why Barry Nolan, my husband, and I did this documentary.
The fathers' rights groups are enraged about this case in the documentary. They say that you and your husband have facts all wrong. What would you say to them?
Well, I can say without any hesitation that everything we say in the documentary is 100% true. Everything we say has a document in the documentary to show that why we're saying what we're saying. We have absolute evidence that is either medical evidence, legal evidence. It is all there. It is solid.
And so it really, I mean, there was a lot of, I saw the documentary. It was fabulous. There was a lot of information there. I mean, a lot of the things that this man had done to both her, Holly, and her children. And yet they still gave him custody. They said that she, in the court evaluation, that Holly had Munchausen's by proxy, that disease that makes caregivers lie about their kids' health, and that it interfered with the relationship with the father.
Well, what was that one is something that a lot of people find very interesting, this Munchausen's thing. But in Holly's case, first of all, it was disproven. Second of all, what she was doing was going to doctors to try to get the support she needed to protect her children.
Didn't she have her kids have terrible allergies? And
yes.
Then when Mark would go to, would see the children, he would feed them the very foods that would basically blow them up into hives.
And, yes, yeah. And we have pictures of that in the documentary, and we have evidence of it. But the most important thing about this is that it was another medical term that was used to discredit Holly. And that's very dangerous in this country. When you use things like that against a loving, protective parent, that's what we have to be on high alert for.
Her children were begging her to be rescued. I mean, I saw some of the, you know, I went to school for art therapy, and I saw some of the drawings the children had made. I mean, it was just, it was heart-wrenching. I mean, it just really grabbed you. It makes no sense to me, again, that these children were saying that their father was abusing them, and they wanted out. They wanted one of the, I think one of the drawings said, "Rescue me."
Yes, save
Time's
me.
Up.
Time's up.
I mean, these kids were traumatized.
They told anybody who would listen their story. Some of those pictures were done at Boston Children's Hospital, where Dr. Eli Neuberger led a very experienced and remarkable team of people. The children said what was happening to them. They drew the pictures. Any normal person, forget being an expert, would look at the pictures and say, these children are suffering. So why that was not considered is completely shocking. And in this particular case, there were court personnel, there were guardians ad litem, there were lots of people who did not listen to the children. And I would say to you that until we get a system that listens to children, we are going to have a bad, dangerous system. Children don't, you know, we have this idea that children lie. I don't know where that comes from. Does it come from the Easter Bunny? It's not the same thing. Children don't lie about these
things.
And
when children are abused by their parents, they usually are afraid to say so. So if they actually have the guts to say, I'm being abused, I mean, that had to have been pretty bad. What needs to be done to fix the family courts?
Well, one of the things that needs to be done is we all need to know that there's a problem, and we need to talk about it. We need the mainstream media to cover these stories systematically and responsibly, and we need the courts to consider evidence of domestic violence and child abuse in any custody evaluation or awarding of custody ever. You can't give custody to people who beat people up.
Who's the main player? Who really does decide?
I would say there's not a main player.
Is there a custody judge?
Well, there's always a judge.
Right.
But there's a guardian ad litem, there are court personnel, there are lawyers, there are court evaluators. And what we've really got is something of a corrupt, in my opinion, a corrupt and dangerous system where nobody wants to rat on the other person, but we've got a very bad system.
It's just amazing. And Holly was in a refugee camp with her children before being granted asylum. I mean, this is pretty serious. But what I question is, why on earth would she even want to come back to the United States?
Well, I think that's a great question for Holly.
Well, I think she probably just thinks that this is a great country in spite of the fact that nobody believed her.
Well, you know, all charges were dropped except for contempt of court, for which she had to serve, she had to do 40 hours in a domestic violence shelter. So she is safely allowed back in the country and all of that. I do want to add that the documentary channel has just picked up No Way Out But One, and it will air on the documentary channel on October 29th.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, so we're very excited about that airing of the documentary.
And where else can people get this?
Well, they can go to the documentary store, and it's it's sold there. I'm set up to do several different screenings, especially during Domestic Violence Month.
Which is in October. Yes. Recently, a teen made a video plea to a DA urging prosecution of his abuser. Damon, is that his name?
Yes. This is a case that's in California. The Center for Judicial Excellence The executive producer there is Kathleen Russell, and this is an extraordinary case where a young man has run away from his abuser because the judge gave custody to a sexual abuser of this young man. And the young man finally said, I'm out of here. I'm going to run away. He's now underground. But he made a video saying, here are the people that did not protect me. And, you know, Holly's daughter, Jennifer Collins, is now executive director of something called Courageous Kids. This is an organization that reaches out to kids who have been abused. Some of them are coming of age now, and they are really ready to talk. They don't need the courts. They're not afraid of the courts anymore, and they're ready to go public. And this is going to be a real game changer in this country when these children come of age and start to tell what's happened to them in the family courts.
Why does this flawed system prefer to be left in the shadows?
Well, because so many people are going to be exposed as
bad people, though.
As people who don't
abusers.
Protect. Well, a judge may not be an abuser when he gives abuser custody, but a judge is certainly not paying attention to key. Well, a judge is not paying attention to the facts, or sometimes. The people who work in the courts are not paying attention to the facts. We have to change the system. And again, I really believe that the only way to change the system is to have a media spotlight on every family court in this country, for there to be court watchers in family courts to say, this is wrong. Otherwise, the family courts don't have a reason to change. It's working for them.
Exactly. Garland Waller, we're going to get Holly Collins on the phone. But before we do, what would you say to someone who is currently in need of hope?
Well, number one, I would say you are not alone. Number two, I would say there are organizations like Center for Judicial Excellence, the Leadership Council, Justice for Children. There are organizations out there to help battered women who are losing custody of their children to batterers.
Thank you. All right. We have Holly Collins on the line now. Holly, thanks so much for calling in. I really appreciate your calling us.
Okay, thank you.
Holly, tell us what happened. You were married to Mark Collins, and he was abusing you and your children. Is that right?
Yes, okay. That's correct.
All right, so tell our listeners the story.
Oh, it's such a long story. Well, Mark hit me, and he beat me up, but for me, that was just a fact of life. I was abused as a kid, and...
So this is something you just expected?
It was just, yeah, I just accepted it. I mean, I was already... my self-esteem was so low that I just figured this is the best that someone like me could ever get. I was always told that I was unlovable or unlikable, and... You know, that nobody could ever love me. So after Mark would beat me up, he would be so kind and so loving and profess how much he loved me and how sorry he was. And, you know, I believed him. And even though he might have only been nice once or twice a month after he hit me, for me it was still, I was just craving for someone to care about me. So.
But what about the children? The children were also being abused. Is that right?
Well, I know that it sounds like a cop-out or an excuse, but for the most part, you know, I honestly thought that I was protecting them, and I did.
Protecting them? What do you mean? Protecting them how?
Well, when their father would get angry that, you know, they did something wrong or they left their toys out, you know, I would step in front of them, and so he would beat me up, and he was content in beating me up instead of the children because I was a bad mother and didn't take good enough care for the children. If I would have picked up the toys, he wouldn't be angry. Or if I would have made sure they didn't cry, he wouldn't have to hit anyone. So I just, accepted that it was my fault. I mean, I really took full blame for it.
So let's just jump forward just a bit here. So he was abusing you. He was abusing your children. But then it got to the point where your son had a fractured skull. Is that right?
Yes, it was in.
And you had just had enough. And
No. I also took that on, that it was my fault, because. He was beating me up that night when my son came down and tried to protect me. And then he beat up my son and he fractured his skull. And the guilt was just overwhelming that it was my fault that my son was injured.
So I
didn't blame the father. I blamed myself that if I wasn't weak and if I didn't need my little boy to protect me or to intervene, you know, so again, it was my fault. Everything was my fault.
But you did leave.
Child protection showed up at our door. Mm-hmm. There was a child protection report. I understand there was two child protection reports. I believe one was from the doctor and one was from the priest, our priest. We both had counseling with our priest, and he knew that Mark was... Mark admitted to the priest that he had a temper problem and that he was beating me up. And the priest did threaten us both that he would have to make a report to Child Protection. And so Child Protection just showed up at the front door unannounced and told me that I was just as bad as the father for not protecting my children. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't leave him and take the children with me, that they would also file charges against me for failure to protect.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, kind of.
Yeah, and I was 23, I believe, and just, again, thinking this was all my fault, and if I was a better mother or a better person, I could have protected my children. So I did leave. I was too afraid of losing the children, and I don't know if I really believed that this was the solution, but I left, and Mark went into family court. And so apparently the case is in juvenile court if there's no one protecting the children, but then when we went to get a divorce, or when he left and he filed for divorce or custody or visitation rights, then the case got transferred to family court, and then the rules were all different.
And so at what point did you kidnap your children and...
Kidnap is a strong word, but... we went through the divorce, and I had custody of the children. And Mark had visitation. He had unsupervised visitation. The children were coming back saying that their dad was hurting them. And so I couldn't send them on visitation anymore. I just couldn't do it. And... then Mark went back to court and said that I was denying him visitation, and custody was reversed.
But the part that's most important here, I think, is that the children were telling you that when he was with them, he was beating them. Is that right?
The children told me, they told the teachers, they told the priests, they told the doctors, they told the family court service evaluators. They told everybody except the judge. The judge didn't want to hear from the children, but the children certainly wanted to tell everybody to help them. They were begging for help.
Yep. And so since we just have just a few minutes, Holly, so you then secured your children, and then you went to the Netherlands where you were granted asylum. Is that right?
Yes, I was actually on my way to New Zealand. I was going to go to New Zealand because I heard that there was another American child who was granted sanctuary there who was being abused in America. So I was on my way to New Zealand, but I was arrested in Amsterdam for not having proper travel. I didn't have a passport.
Mm-hmm. All right. Holly Collins, thank you so much for being on Talk with Francesca today.
Okay, thank you.
We will be continuing this discussion on domestic violence with Barry Goldstein, author of Scared to Leave, Afraid to Stay, an expert on domestic violence. Be right back.
My little girl met a new friend just the other day on the playground at school, between the tires and the swing. But she came home with tear-filled